Okay, 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new podcast episode. And I don't know if you all remember it, but I'm back now with Eric. We already did two podcasts together about body movement, body exercise, calisthenics, and he's really a master of that. So welcome back, Eric.
What's up, everyone? Thank you, Khaled, once again for inviting me. It's the third time, and I hope it's going to be even better than last two times.
Anytime, my brother. I'm happy you're here. And yeah, tell the people quick, how is it going with your training routine, especially now in that, you know, pandemic, corona time? I'm assuming you also did a lot of online training with people or stuff for yourself at home. I mean, you have already your equipment, but I also guess probably a lot of gyms were at least for a few weeks closed in Poland, right? Like in Germany,
but yeah.
Weeks closed.
Yeah, well, so the pandemic was an interesting experience for me. I mean, the lockdown, in terms of obviously interesting in terms of what I had to do in order to adapt to completely new schedule. And well, what I'm gonna talk about right now might be also applicable in the near future, unfortunately, because you know the all ratings are unfortunately going up when it comes to the pandemic, and it's very possible that the lockdown is going to be you know, still introduced in a couple of weeks. Yeah. But anyways, so how it's been. So before the lockdown, I remember I had a pretty solid training routine, but I was mainly training in the gym. So if anybody knows me or follows me on any of the social media platform, knows that even though I train body weight, I'm not the biggest fan of parks or even home training, although like home training is better, but it's mainly because of weather, and it's pretty inconsistent. Therefore, I cannot, you know, be 100% sure that I'm going to be able to do what I want to do all the time. Which is not the case in the gym. And therefore, I decided to just train calisthenics in the gym and just use the opportunities that gym gives me. So when gym closed down, I was forced to switch to the home training. And it's been going pretty well, to be honest. The only problem was with just motivating yourself to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those lucky ones that... everything that I need for my training, I had the access to it at home. And I'm pretty sure, like, if you're watching this and you, if you hear that, you probably are somehow related to martial arts. So, yeah, I'm also interested in, you know, to know your perspective, Khaled, yeah, of how the training was going, especially the training that is strictly related to, you know, fighting or having other people around you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can do some things to maintain. I'm sure you can, you know, practice your kicks, your, you know, punches, stuff like that. And obviously you can train at home, like your conditioning, your strength.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, you know, that because definitely you noticed a like bigger setback than myself. So in my case, it was only the motivation stuff. After some time, you know, as the gym opened, I came back, unfortunately, with a lot of weight, that like my body weight that I gained through the pandemic.
Corona time.
And that's the biggest problem. Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest problem. You know, I gained about 4 kilograms in the last couple of months, which turned out to be a huge, you know, a huge change for my body weight training. So yeah, things that I've been doing pretty easily before, now I'm like, if someone would like see me, and I'm even watching, you know, my some of my older clips when I could do like deep handstand push-ups, you know, unassisted 5 sets of 5, stuff like that. And, you know, only 4 kilograms or 5 kilograms of difference
probably
is
a
such
lot.
A big one. Yeah, and it's even scary. But now I'm slowly getting back. You know, I'm trying to lose some weight. I'm doing some more of cardio type of training. You know, trying to eat less calories and just continue my strength stuff. And I hope it's gonna be good.
Yeah, so that's very interesting perspective what you said. So let's get back a little bit to when you train at home. You said you are lucky when you have access to most of your things, and that's the key. Then I can answer also the question how it was for me with the training. The thing is, if somebody has zero, really zero equipment, I will not say it's then really bad, but you have to adapt a lot. And in terms of course, if somebody does only body weight training, it's okay, but I think you still, in my opinion, need a few equipments, a few stuff like you have, especially the rings and maybe the parallettes or some bars, the things you have, and a lot of people maybe could see in your videos. And because if you have no equipment, then you're forced to have maybe using a towel for some things, using water bottles or some books, whatever, a little bit weight. So that's the key for me. It was using all the tools and all the gadgets I have. So for me, luckily, I also have a few things. I have a pull-up bar, which is very good and crucial for me. I have, of course, all different types of resistance bands. I have loops. I have the very long resistance band, the short and thick ones. I have a sandbag. I have two dumbbells. I have two different kettlebells. I have a 5 kilo, which is 11 pound, heavy medicine ball. And then, of course, my boxing gear, my stuff, and the mini weight for shadow boxing. So the 1 kilos dumbbells for shadow boxing. And so I think you can definitely work with that a little bit. And I have a chest and lat pull machine. So I was pretty okay working with that. But I think when you do it for 6 weeks, then you will get tired and annoyed with that. So how was it for you with that time, 6 weeks or however, how many weeks did you train just at home?
So do you ask like what I did specifically, right? In
Yeah,
the
especially what,
house?
tell the people first what equipment you use, because you know, if you're forced to zero equipment, then you have to do it. But I think it's interesting to know for people who like to do body weight training or calisthenics, what equipment, if you have access to that, the training at home is definitely crucial.
Okay, so these are kind of like two questions. Okay, so I'm gonna start with the first one. So what I specifically did or what equipment I do have access to. So first of all, gymnastics rings. This one is like if you have that, honestly, if you have gymnastics rings and you're able to attach it to your ceiling, you're then like all set. You can do pretty much every pull exercise in terms of upper body, of course. But I mean, you can do push exercises, pull exercises. You can modify the length of the straps. You can do exercises that require a lot of body control, the stability. You can do exercises that are like purely strength related. I mean, like for example, pull-ups or one-arm chin-up progressions, weighted pull-ups, things like that. You can all do that on rings, just like on pull-up bar, but you can then lower them down and do, for example, push-ups on rings, which are much harder. You can also you can just like kind of like chest flies. Okay, you can imitate the chest fly, and it's pretty effective chest builder. Like even on my level, I'm still like feeling this exercise a lot, and I'm still using it, especially in like hypertrophy phases. You know, when I want to build more muscle in like the most functional way for my sport, let's call it, I do use things like rings, push-ups, or things like that. So rings are the best, and but unfortunately, not everyone is able to install them in their ceilings. I know people who do have some problems with that. It's not something that you can always control. Sometimes the structure of your building just won't allow you to do that. So what to do then? So if you do not have rings, first of all, the equipment that may be very useful is the pull-up bar that you install in your doorframe.
Yeah.
So you don't need any, you know, any stuff that you drill in. But, you know, just, you know, I don't know honestly how it's called in English, this word, but it's basically, you know, the pull-up bar between your, like, in the doorframe.
Okay, I understand what you mean. That for me, that bar is like a second option, because if you have a certain weight, I think if it's over 220 or over 100 kilo, then it's probably not the most stable thing. But it's definitely for starters, for beginners, it's definitely good, that bar. But I'm more a fan of a real pull-up bar.
Well, I have to agree here, because I myself had an accident.
Yeah,
I remember with this kind of bar.
You see, when you squeeze it in the door, you see, yeah, also the wood, like, almost a little bit breaking, so you can see that already.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know it's funny, because I talked to a girl that told me that that she has a, like, you know, the pole dancing.
Yeah.
Right? And so in pole dancing, like there is that pole, obviously. And can you imagine that, just like there are pull-up bars that you squeeze,
yeah,
like between both sides of, like, let's say, door frame.
Yeah.
There is the same thing with the pole bar, or pole, how you call it, you know?
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
I always thought, you know, it's impossible that it's going to just, especially that you do some dynamic elements there, some dynamic skills, dynamic tricks.
True, probably it's impossible after a time it will fall off. Imagine you're doing a muscle up, and then a few times probably you will break it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, vertical pole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, on the pole, yeah.
Yeah, like in the pole dancing, yeah. And you only squeeze it between your floor and the ceiling. It was pretty interesting to see, really. But anyways, because we go off topic a bit here, so let me come back. So if you can, you know, install the pull-up bar in your wall, then do that. If you're not able to, and then you can hang rings from there. That's very interesting that you can actually hang rings everywhere, and pull-up bar is also one of those options. So if you have pull-up bar, you can also have rings. With the doorway pull-up bar, rings may be a bit difficult to use, because, you know, there is not a lot of space.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's still an option. So parallettes, for example, are another tool that I use a lot. But in my case, it's even more important. It's even more, you know, specific to myself, because I do have some problems with wrist since the childhood, honestly. And so every time I do some serious work on the ground, like with the extended, you know, extended hand, like in the push-up position.
Yeah.
Whenever I do that, later, like sooner or later, I'm gonna have some sort of injury with my wrist, like some overuse injury. So I do have to use push-up bars or parallettes, whatever you call it. And there are different types of it. So there are some push-up bars that are very low. There are some parallettes that allow for more exercises because they're a bit higher. And I think that the price of them is also, like, very, very good right now. So definitely one of the equipments that might be very useful to use. Other than that, you know, obviously there are some things like bands. There are some things like ankle weights, like some weight belt and actual weight plates. But I don't think it's necessity. I think that if you plan to continue your training at home after the lockdown, and that it's something that you just, you know, want to continue all the time, then I would invest in some, you know, some, yeah, barbells, some dumbbells, some plates, stuff like that. But obviously it's a bit more expensive. So some people, I know some people that recommend dumbbells as a first piece of equipment, yeah, that they're pretty just cheap. You can also use them for leg training. Like if you're doing some split squats, for example, you know, or pistol squats, you can obviously use some dumbbells as a resistance. So these are my pieces of equipment that I would recommend everyone and that I would use myself. In terms of the second question, which is so I answered both questions.
It's okay, brother. You're just on the flow, then it happens. But talking about recommending, then we can just jump to the next topic I want to talk about with you is, if somebody is a total starter and he or she wants to do bodyweight training with / gymnastics or calisthenics, a mix like that, and let's say somebody has only 30 minutes to train few times a week and just wants a few exercises to start, what would you recommend? Like maybe your top five.
Okay, so we have a person that trains two times a week, right?
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah.
Or you said three times. Anyways, no, it's gonna be similar.
Because I know most people, they don't train.
Yeah, actually, like most people that I trained online, I put them on 2 days a week or 3 days a week programs, and I think that in most cases it works pretty well. Obviously, it's gonna depend. It's not like some general statement. If we have a person that is just starting out, and obviously we know that we know certain limitations, we know the experience of this person, stuff like that, that, you know, everyone should obviously know before starting any kind of training program, then I would advise to do the following. So first of all, I would set up some sort of goals, you know, but let's skip that as well. Just let's say that this person wants to, you know, build some basic strength, some general strength with bodyweight exercises, and build some muscle along the way. So I would choose one vertical pull variation, which is going to be, for example, pull-ups, right? I'm gonna give some other examples. So if you cannot do pull-ups, then you can obviously do them with some sort of assistance. There are many ways to do it. You can use partner assistant pull-ups. If you're interested in, you know, knowing what are the different variations, as also pros and cons, you can check out my Instagram. I do post stuff there more consistently lately, in terms of like the exercises and tips for that. So you can do also leg assisted pull-ups. So you find a bit of lower bar or even the table, you know, even the table. You put your legs on the floor, so you're bent in hips in 90 degrees. And you just, you know, give yourself assistance with your legs just as much to do, for example, I don't know, 6 to 8 reps. So that would be for the pull, vertical pull variation. Then we need some sort of vertical push. Now for a beginner, for like person that is a beginner, that might be hard, that might be difficult, because we cannot really operate on very low amount or very low percentage of body weight right here. So obviously I would advise to do pike push-ups. Pike push-ups are, do you know pike push-ups maybe?
Yeah, sure. It's like leaning forward and then it's addressing really the shoulder. So it's almost like
half fiber. That's the, you know what? That's actually like what you described here was would be lean push-ups, pseudo planche push-ups, or something like that. But pike push-up is actually imitating the handstand push-up. So So it's imagine the handstand push-up, but your legs are on the floor. If anyone can imagine that, it's basically, you know, that you push in the vertical manner. You're bent in the hips while doing the push-up.
Okay, so you but would it's say
really difficult.
You would say variations of push-ups definitely very important if people start, because with push-ups you have so many things you can do anyway. So just play around with that and to get some strength, and then of course some great ab exercise. And what would you recommend for legs? So if somebody starts and
you know what, let me finish, because I just wanted to, you know, to finish with the exercises for the upper body.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna go for legs. Okay, so the vertical push is basically this pike push-up. If you cannot do pike push-up or your flexibility legs, just put your knees on some sort of bench or some sort of box and just do pike push-ups in this manner. Obviously, if you're more advanced, you can do handstand push-ups against the wall. That also works, and you can increase range of motion in order to just keep improving. And I would do that also for, you know, how many reps. Rep range is not as important. More important is the actual effort that you need to put, especially in this first phase. I would just focus on, you know, doing, let's say, 5 to 10 reps. But every single of this, like the last reps, should be intense, should be difficult. So then I would do, so if we have the vertical pull and vertical push, I would do some sort of horizontal pulling, which means I would do like Australian pull-ups or some rows on the rings, for example. So you basically lay your parallel to the ground, and you perform like pull-ups. You can do that even on the table if you don't have the access to a lower bar or anything. And as the last form of exercise, I would do just simple push-ups on the ground or on parallettes or something like that. You can increase the difficulty by putting your legs on some elevation, and you can obviously add some weight. You can go for one-arm push-up variations. So that would be the big four of upper body, I would call it. And when it comes to lower body training, I would go for things like split squats. So split squats is a great exercise because it basically is both flexibility. It can be both flexibility exercise and strength exercise. And the way you increase difficulty is basically by increasing range of motion. So you start with doing the split squat with your front leg on some sort of elevation. Then you do just split squat on the ground. And if you're strong enough, then you put your leg that is behind on some elevation. You get that nice stretch.
More like a Bulgarian squat when you have one foot, for example.
It's a Bulgarian split squat. Yeah, it's a full name. So that would be one of the exercises. The second is definitely the glute ham raise. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, 100%.
Glute ham raise. Yeah. Glute ham raise, basically find some sort of, you know, low point or thing that you can attach your legs to, or just, you know, that is going to support your full body weight. And you just, you know, lean a bit forward and perform like extensions in your hips. Obviously, when you get more advanced, you can decrease this flexion in the hips, and you can just do, you know, if you're very, very, very advanced, because it's really hard exercise. I cannot do it, for example. You can do just, you know, flexing with your in your knees. So your full body weight is going, you know, up and down, but it's much more difficult. It's hard to describe, honestly, just talking like that through, you know, just with the audio, but I'm sure you're going to just look it up if you're interested. It's glute ham raise. And obviously there are some things like pistol squats, you know, some sissy squats, some other variations. But these would be the most important ones.
That's definitely a good variation of exercise. And plus, people can look it also up at your YouTube channel. or should I say channels, because you have two, then you also your Polish audience. And then let's talk quick about your YouTube channel before we wrap that up. What can people expect there? And yeah, what can they learn on your channel? And yeah, just also maybe how you grew it a little bit.
Obviously. So we are very limited in the time, so I'm gonna very fast. So like 6 months ago we talked, I think I was at like 200 subscribers, and it's been growing pretty well. And I keep, you know, the idea of the channel is still the same. I would invite anyone that is, first of all, open-minded for the new ideas, that is not getting butthurt because someone creates, you know, certain opinion that is maybe not very popular. And also, that's the channel mainly directed to calisthenics enthusiasts. And I'm sure everyone is gonna, you know, take something away from that, from these videos. However, mostly people that are, I would say, intermediate or just, you know, very interested in some mental stuff, mental side of training, stuff like that, because that's honestly what my channel is right now, like the main topic of my videos. So in the past there were like things that were more applicable, I would say, and so these are the videos that you can definitely check out if you're a beginner. And right now I go more theoretical type of stuff. It's some new thing, you know, but I'm still learning, I'm still applying, and I hope to, you know, to get somewhere with it, in like next year or years, if that's necessary.
Yeah, I think definitely you will do it. So as long as you still stick to it and try your best on your YouTube channel, I mean, I can see the growth and the people. If you're listening now and then later watch his YouTube, you will definitely see how he improves and there's great content. I will for sure link the YouTube channel in the description. So thank you so
Thank you
much.
so much, brother.
Anytime, you're welcome. Thank you so much for everybody listening out there and for the support. And most important, thank you so much, Eric, for hopping on that podcast again. Next time, I definitely promise we will do a longer podcast for the people out there so we can go more into details. I know some people like a lot of details, so we'll definitely do that also. And yeah, anything else you want to say? Some last words, maybe?
I would just say, you know, continue your thing, continue like doing what you do now, and you know, hopefully see you soon, if we can do some longer podcast. Thank you Khaled, so much for inviting me for the third time. I really appreciate it, and like I said, I wait for the next time.
Anytime, my brother, always. And I'm happy to do the next podcast again in the future. And yeah, thank you so much again for everybody out there listening. And bye. See you next time.